Thank you. Thank you, Rory. Melanie said it way better than I could. Just appreciate you guys. Everything this church has done. I wasn't going to cry, and then my daughter started this whole night. What a privilege. What a privilege to be together. My daughters found their husbands in our church in Edmonton, as I shared this morning, and my son Kyle's here, and Matthew's here tonight. They came back with PJ after painting him pink and purple and all that. My son Kyle had to go to a little place in, I think it's called Hillsong or something like that, to find a wife. But we love our daughter-in-law and our... Anyhow, I could just enjoy tonight.
Enjoy it.
Thank you. Really, really, thank you. We really love this church, and your leaders, all of them that we know and getting to know. And you guys mean more than we can say. And I read this verse from Paul this morning, and I'll just read it. I don't know what I'll be preaching tonight, but he says this, writing to his friends, and I'll repeat it. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown." That's how you should stand firm. I can't read that verse in South Africa this time without losing it. I don't know why. But I love... We were at the union buildings today taking family photos. You know, this is the first time that our whole family's been together and for their cousins to meet each other. And I just believe it's amazingly prophetic that we're doing this in South Africa.
Amazing.
And how God knits together and puts things together. And so if I'm sentimental and old and just happy, these are happy tears, forgive me. But I just cannot stand here and not thank God for how faithful He is. Faithful God. We serve a faithful God. Amazing God who saved me, called us, and when we're singing the song tonight, I don't want to forget it. When you're singing this, one of the songs you're singing tonight, I really felt this in my spirit, and then you gave your word and prayed for folk. But what I heard God say, if I know God, I heard God say, it's a night to hear the call of God. To hear a call to holiness. To hear a call to ministry. To hear a call to flat out serving God. And when Melanie prayed for the young ladies, and there's many young men in this place, I don't know if I'll ever get talking about marriage or singleness or whatever I'll get to. I feel like such a useless preacher in this place. I don't know what to say half the time. But I don't care. I really don't care. So I'm only here one time and I'm gone. So they can fix it all later. It's so freeing to just be free. So... But I really believe God's calling tonight. He's calling people to Himself. I pray you'll listen. And as I said, it's all comes piling in. We're standing at the Union Buildings, and I can remember the call of God to come to South Africa. And He gave me a vision. He gave Lori and I a vision. All you have to go by is your gut, your spirit, no organization, no funding, no nothing. You have this, God speaks to your gut. He speaks to your knower. How do you explain that to somebody? And He showed us, my vision was this hill on the side, and I didn't even know exactly how it worked, and then I was trying to see what was behind it, but it was like this open field and this row of trees. And make a long, long story short, we ended up, and I've shared this before, but we ended up driving down the street there by Reetendale. As you go over Tom Jenkins and that South Punsburg, it's all changed now, but whatever that was called. And after we had already moved here and we're driving down that road, and I said to the Lord, that's what I saw. That's the hill. And that we come back up this side and we're sitting at the union buildings, and Lori's vision was nothing but this flat, amazing green grass. And we get to the union building, and she says, "This is it. This is the place." And because of that, a whole lifetime of history and amazing life takes place. And I know my kids are called. I know my son-in-law-to-be is called. Whatever that means, like, I know Kyle's called from before the womb. I could tell you a long story. I'm not putting anything on him. I just know their callings and how they'll live that out will probably be very, very different than mine. And it will look very, very different. But tonight, will you just open your heart? Will you open your spirit to the call of God? He calls. My granddaughter's dying over here. Sorry, Celine. Oh, yay, yay. You're killing us in this place. Crying and crying. Can I have a Kleenex? Sorry. Thank you. Yeah, jeez. Whatever God wants to do, He can do. I don't care tonight. I love you guys. We love you. We drove a few people out of here. My very first time in this tent, I can name the guy. I put him in a chokehold and I dragged him out the back. You remember that guy? Some of you remember that guy. He punched a couple of people in the face in the parking lot, and they came running. And he said, he punched Keith Waterston. I think it was Keith Waterston. And I see this guy, and he's walking through here. And I said, to being a brave man of God, I said to one of the, I said, "Go get Colin DeVilliers." And this guy, and I thought, "No way, you stupid guy." So I walked up to him. And I said, "Sorry." He says, "I'm a prophet of God." And I said, "You are an idiot." Honest truth. I can only tell you the truth. And I literally said, "God help me." And my wife's brother is a policeman, and he taught us some moves. And I don't know how I was going to do it. No, I can't even remember. If I do it, I might hurt you. So he's, "I'm a prophet of God." He's walking, and he's shouting, and he's looking mental. And I took him by the hand, and the way the Lord worked it out, he spun around, and I caught him up behind the neck, and I lifted him off the ground, and he just went. And he said, "Okay, I'll go." I said, "I know you're going to go." And at that time, another fairly good-sized guy, I forget his name, he was in the north with us, he came alongside, and we just kind of lifted this guy out of the church. And a couple of people in the church said we were a bit excessive, but I did not want to get punched in the face. And why do I bring that up? There's just so many stories in this place. That big fat tree right on the edge of the outside there, that's the one we planted. I remember that tree. It almost got taken out when you extended the front there, but God spared that tree. So when we walk up here, there's just so much stuff going on in our life and the faithfulness of God. And I see Corey and Amber here from Canada and our church there. And just my heart is just too full of good things. Beautiful. My beloved, beautiful. My joy, and my crown. I thank God for His faithfulness. Faithful, faithful God. I don't know what I said here anymore, so forgive me. My generation, I'm 60 this year. That's why we're taking the pictures up on the... See, it's just too much emotion. That's why we're taking the pictures up there. That was my gift for my birthday. My whole family together from all over the world and to be together. And I don't know why I even brought that up again. Why did I bring that up? But Yes, thank you. See, wives are so good. My generation forgets things. We are very sensitive to heresy, doctrinal heresy, black and white. We want, you know what I mean? We grew up on that. Get it right. And it's not wrong. But the generation that's coming along now is very, very, very sensitive to relational heresy, to fakeness, to counterfeit, to emptiness. I believe that's one of the reasons this place is full tonight like this, is there's a desire for genuine. There's a need for relationships that are genuine. And one of the persons that blessed me the most this morning, I think her name is Jolene or some, sorry. As we were going out the back door, she's saying hi and she's shaking my hand, thanking me for the service. And I said, oh, are you, because I thought she was the wife of one of the guys. And she said, no, I just come to this lovely, amazing family. And her words were, I just feel so privileged to just come and be part of this. What an amazing testimony. It's not the preach, and thank God for the preach. It's people go to church, they expect to preach. They expect somebody to stand and to open up a word, and they expect this. But what they don't expect is you. What they don't expect is a genuine relationship with people. People who are doing life, people who are seeking after God, people who are hungry for God and genuine and not just going through some church motions. Everywhere you go in the world, that is a dead thing. And you can get all your P's and Q's exactly right, and we can get this thing figured out and we can have it perfect, and we can lose a whole generation of people because they're looking for reality of a relationship with people. And my prayer is that we would be those people. Whenever Paul writes, like to these Philippians, the word joy is like 7,000 times in this book, and you know all the theology of it. These were his friends. And his heart is going out to them, and he's praying for them, and he's calling to them to be faithful. To be faithful to God. To just keep walking and trusting and obeying God. So staying with the theme of the call to holiness, a call to ministry, a call to, for my life to be used of God. As I said, I was reminded again today. 1974, our family was not in a good place back in Canada. My father was an alcoholic. He got saved at the end of his life. Most of you know our story. Not most, many. Many don't, okay. We lived on a farm, bunch of burkis, fighting 5 nights of a week, drunk, not us, our dad. Earliest memories of him beating up our mother, shouting, screaming. If I hear sounds through the floor from above, even till this day, I still jolt. You could be asleep at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and the door, there's just a certain way the door would open and all hell would break loose. And we would go at it till 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning, and then we'd all get up to go to school and pretend everything's perfect. And we do that our whole life. And at 15, in 1974, my brother and a couple sisters attended a church like this. It was called Revival Center in those days. And my brother came back to the farm and he told me about Jesus for the first time. And I saw what God did in his life. And he asked me, do you want to be a Christian? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I guess you are then. Yeah. That was our theology. And I'm telling you, everything in our life changed. Everything. God's love came into our lives. Did it mean we never had another problem? Did it mean we're perfect? Just about. Not quite, but but I'm telling you, when you feel God's love and you see it in people and you see that it's real and you it changes you. And that's Paul's heart in writing this to his friends. My joy is my family. My joy is these guys on the front, some of them less than others. Think what we're part of in the world. And think what the guy outside misses. Dion and Natalie, every time I see someone in the crowd, you've already nailed them and got them. Francois this morning and these guys, I could tell you stories about that couple, how they blessed. Just thank God. Thank God for men and women. So here's my preaching. God help me tonight. Let me just read a couple of notes and then I'll quit or something, or we'll pray for the call of God to come on your life. Good. Singleness and marriage. Talking with Jeff this morning and he said, touch on that, preach on that. There was a season in the church world, not just this church, the church, when singleness was honored. The singles would sit the closest. They had the best seats. It's where the whole nunnery came from, the whole celibacy thing came from, the whole honoring of that. And it all went sideways and did a whole bunch of weird things. But there was a season when it was the highest calling to be single, to concentrate yourself to serving God and loving Him and being passionate for Him. And I'm not preaching celibacy this evening. Because if you have to ask, do I have that gift? You don't have it. Just realize that. That's one of those gifts that it's like humility. If you have to think about it, it's gone. You don't have it. So, but what I believe God's calling people to is the life of holiness. A life of surrendering whatever condition you are in to Him. Melanie shared already, I remember Nicole at her wedding. She's sharing her testimony. As I shared this morning, she's got amazing... God has given my beautiful daughters amazing men, real men. Thank God for that. And she's sharing her testimony at her... This is at her wedding, and we're all emotional. And she's like, you know, she was a little older. I don't know, 28 or whatever she was. She felt like she had waited a long time anyhow. It's like 3 months in my world, but... And she was saying, this is her testimony. She said, you know, I thank God. And I came to the place where I was saying, okay, God, whatever, I just want you. I just want to serve you. And then Brad showed up and she said, okay, Lord, just kidding. But whatever place you're in, if you'll say yes to Jesus, He will give you abundant life. Personally. It doesn't mean it's free of problems. It doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. If anybody's told you that, they're liars. But what it means is you can have this trust in your heart and knowledge in your heart that God is in control in my life. And whether I'm in South Africa or I'm in Canada or I'm in Tanzania or wherever I am, my life is in God's hands. And He's working those things out. Brilliant. And He'll take care of me. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of your futures and your circumstance. So here's the 3 points and a poem. If you're married or if you're single, make it your greatest ambition. Make it your greatest vocation of life. That this is a condition I'm in, and I surrender to God, and I'm going to do everything I can to live in that, in a place that I'm honoring to God. It's my greatest ambition. My greatest ambition in life is to be a good husband and a good father. Yeah, I preach, but that's not my calling. It's my calling. But my greatest calling, my first calling, is my family. And if you're single here tonight, it starts there. It starts with that realization that this is my highest calling, my greatest ambition. I'm going to give it to God. And I'm going to serve Him with that, what position I'm in. And He's going to come through and be faithful to me. And, you know, people give up and they go looking for husbands and wives, and they go looking in the wrong places for, you know, they're lonely, they're hurting. I could name you people right now. I could name them to you that you just, that's why Paul cries later on in this book or earlier in this book for people who just give up before it's time. They just don't hold on long enough. They just quit. They don't keep their eyes focused. They don't keep their eyes on good examples. They don't keep their eyes on Jesus. They don't keep their hearts right. They give up just too soon. And they go for that second choice. And they go for that man-made cistern. They walk away from the river of life. They walk away from God's things. And they try to fix, you know, the boor make a plan we heard about. They're going to make a plan, but God has a plan. And the beautiful thing is, even when we mess up in our plan and we are stupid, God can still come through and make something amazing out of our lives. And He's faithful, and He's faithful, and He's faithful. And I just come back to that, the wonderful faithfulness of God. Our part of the world, we talk about marriage. You know, I'm only 60. I'm not 1,000 years old. But I never thought I'd see the day when I'd open up the scripture and I'd read Genesis and I'd read the words of Jesus. And the words where Jesus quotes from Genesis, he says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." I never thought I'd live to see the day where that was anti-social, anti-government, actually opposed as the right way. And to say that's marriage, to say that's God's plan, to say that publicly is hate. To say that is to put yourself in this category of weirdos and religious bigots and hate mongers, to stand and just say, keep your life pure, is opposed to the whole society. I never thought I'd live to see that day. But we're in it. In our part of the world, people don't know if they're men, women, and they got a list of, I think it's, I might be exaggerating, but it's like 53 in-betweens that you can be. Seriously. Our government papers are all changing right now. When you fill in forms, it's all changing. And then there's a space where you can check what you would prefer to be called. He or she or him or her, or Mr. or Mrs. or a whole line of other things. And which one would you prefer? Or none. We are losing our minds. And I'm saying, commit your way to God, your sexuality, your singleness. Commit your marriage to God and to His Word. And He is faithful. He's faithful to bring about an amazing plan and a God-given plan. It says, marriage is our first ambition. The test for that is, Do you love being a father, a mother, husband or wife more than the ministry or the job or whatever it is you're doing? Do you love your singleness and who you are more than what your profession is going to be one day? Do you look at that as your greatest vocation to give to God, your greatest gift? That's what it means to have it as your great passion, your first passion. And the second thing is it's our first ambition. It should be our first passion. Passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion. If marriage, not leadership, is our strong and barely controllable emotion, then we as leaders should be among the most in love couples in the church. Yeah. You say you love Jesus, then, and you're married, then you should be the most in love people that the whole street can see. And the problem is the devil hates that. He hates people to live in holiness in their singleness, and he hates for people to live in joy and the fruitfulness of marriage. And what it means to be married and to be a man and a woman, to be in love, to have a relationship, to be passionate about it. Hallelujah. I was passionate about being single. I didn't want to be single for more than 6 days. But I didn't have the gift, trust me. First girl that would even date me, I asked her to marry me, and here she is. But to live your life full of the passion for your marriage, passion for your relationships with one another, passion for God, passion for your church, that's the only way to live. To have that passion about life. Not just scraping through, not just getting through, but passionate about it. And you can practice it. I read it in a book. You know what one of their comments was to grow passion in marriage? Sorry, this is a lot of singles here tonight, but it's okay. You need to know some stuff. Spend 20 minutes a day naked with one another. That is a terrible idea. That is a stupid book. Who wants that? I'm glad you're laughing, because whatever state you're in, love God and do it well. The last one is marriage has to be our first passion. It also has to be our loudest gospel message, and this is where I wanted to get to. We often think our messages, our words, our marriages are to be a sign and a wonder. Our singleness is to be a sign and a wonder. And I just want to bless my daughter Melanie, and we are sorry for just using this whole evening selfishly, but I know the cry of her heart. I know the desire of her heart. And when she was in university, we moved back to Canada. She finished grade 12. Like she said, where's my friends? What are we doing here? What kind of a life am I going to have? She's sitting in university, went for 4 years, and everybody around her mocks that she's a virgin, has kept herself. And they doubly mock because she doesn't drink. It's like you are a monkey from Mars in that world. And I just want to say, Melanie, well done for being faithful, for serving God. My daughter's paid a much bigger price than my son, Matthew, who's here. Much bigger price for us to plant a church in Canada, I felt, than Lori and I. We went back to family, went back to our country where we were born. It was still a shock to the system. But for them, they never lived there, never knew it. And I just see them being faithful to God and how faithful God is to them. So that's my message. And I would like to ask the musicians to come. And Rory, if you allow me, I would like to just to give a call tonight. I believe God is calling people. Calling to holiness, calling to ministry, calling to give your life 100%. And if something of that touches your heart tonight, would you just stand up? You say, that's me. Thanks. Yeah. And thank you. It's wonderful. Don't feel pressure to stand because others are. It's okay. It's okay. I can remember when God called me into ministry. I can remember when He saved me. I didn't care who else was there. I wanted to hear Him. I wanted to know Him. And as we were singing the one song about surrender, I forget the words. The calling of God on my life, when I knew God had called me into full-time ministry, that's the path God took me down, was when we were just simply singing, I surrender all to Jesus. And I felt Jesus ask me, do you mean that? And I had to say yes. And I was so happy that He called me. I was afraid He wasn't going to. And so if you just look around at how many people are standing, how about you feel God is calling you to holiness, to a life of holiness, a life of surrender to Him? Why don't you just join all these guys? I don't even remember what I asked the first time, so forgive me. I'm trying to get the whole place to stand up, actually. You say, but I'm not even saved. Well, come here and we'll pray for you, please. And I'll ask you, like my brother asked me, do you want to be a Christian? Do you want Jesus? You're here tonight and you say, that's me. Put up your hand. Say, that's me. I want to be a Christian. I can't see very good because of the lights, but thank you. Then I guess you are. I mean that. Then I guess you are. Give Him your whole life. Give Him your whole life. Hallelujah. So I don't pretend to have a word for every one of you. But I know God's calling this church. I know He's calling you. He's calling me. Let's surrender.